Taco Radio Daily for halfway day to the weekend. And yes, for those of you that are like, well, I work on a weekend. Well, I work on Saturdays myself now, so I don't hear it. It's still a weekend and you'll enjoy it. And we're not even there yet, so quit your bitching, okay? Gosh. Let's get through this day, shall we? Welcome, everyone, to the 28th of July. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today. The man who is so happy to finally be back in his office, once again pretending to be a man named Nick State. That there is podcast Adrian Siegfried.
Perhaps now would be a good time to jump around like an idiot.
I mean, I've never known you to pass up that chance. Hi, everyone. I'm the guy that's popular in all kinds of places. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You're very popular in a number of state institutions.
Hey, an audience is an audience. What happened on this fine, fantastic day, sir?
In 1851, a total solar eclipse is first captured on a daguerreotype photograph by Bush and Barkowski at the Royal Observatory in Königsberg, Prussia.
1858, fingerprints are used for the first time as a means of identification.
1896, using an Edison Vitascope projector, a film is exhibited commercially for the first time anywhere in Canada at the West End Park in Ottawa. I hear they have wonderful girls there.
1930, John Logie Baird gives the first public demonstration of his large screen television in the UK at the London Coliseum Variety Theatre.
1962, a bug in the flight software of the Mariner 1 space probe causes the rocket to divert from its intended path on launch. Mission Control is forced to destroy the rocket over the Atlantic Ocean. A later investigation into the accident reveals that a formula written on paper in pencil was improperly transcribed into computer code, causing the computer to miscalculate the rocket's trajectory.
It was also in cursive. 1964, NASA launches the Ranger 7 space probe on a mission to the moon. The probe will be the first to successfully transmit close-up images of the lunar surfaces back to Earth. All in all, 4,308 pictures. 1995, Columbia Pictures releases the film The Net, directed by Irwin Winkler, starring Sandra Bullock, Jeremy Northam, and Dennis Miller. That was that whole internet movie, and she had the fancy phone.
2000, the Nth Circuit Court of Appeals awards Napster Incorporated a last-minute stay of a previous judge's order to close down its online operations by midnight. Napster faces allegations of facilitating wholesale copyright infringement made by the RIAA.
You notice how there's software today that say you can't judge us for what our people do with it, and they're getting away with it? 2001, on Saturday, July 28th, Sunday, July 29th, the first East Coast Vintage Computer Festival is held at the Best Western Royal Plaza Hotel at the Trade Center in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Because really, who goes to those things?
2006, the science fiction television series Night Stalker premieres on the Sci-Fi Channel after being canceled by the ABC television network after only 10 episodes. The series is a remake, of course, of the classic 1974 series Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
And it was good. 2012, California sinks into the Pacific, Yellowstone erupts, panic ensues when the Olympics are canceled. No, in 2012, the movie, not now, it's crazy.
Isn't it fun how, after those things were supposed to happen, they basically become comedy movies?
Wonk, wonk. Birthdays?
Alexandra Chondo is 35, from As the World Turns, The Lying Game.
Dustin Milligan is 36, from 90210, Schitt's Creek.
Lori Loughlin, 57. Aunt Becky in Full House, Summerland, 90210, well-known USC benefactor.
Sally Struthers is 74, Gloria from All in the Family, and was the voice of Pebbles Flintstone.
Huh. Jim Davis is 76, creator of Garfield.
Peter Cullen is 80, the voice of Carr on Knight Rider, Optimus Prime, and pretty much a good chunk of your childhood.
No kidding. Philip Proctor is 81. He was a heavy hitter with Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., and Finding Nemo. He was also Dr. Vidic in Assassin's Creed.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1948, Georgia Engel from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Care Bears movie, and Open Season.
On TV on CBS, we've got a new Big Brother, Love Island, and SWAT.
ABC, it's a new Pressure Luck, the $100,000 Pyramid, and Match Game.
NBC has gymnastics, men's all-round, diving, men's synchronized final, and swimming. I think I misread how all those commas and dashes went, but that's at the Tokyo Olympics.
Fox has reruns of MasterChef and another rerun of MasterChef, and when doing recipes, please pay attention to the punctuation.
CW rerun of World's Funniest Animals, rerun of World's Funniest Animals, and a rerun of Whose Line, and another rerun of Whose Line, America's Funniest People.
There's a theme there. Freeform, Callie and Mariana try to work together to figure out what really happened the night of Zach's death. Malika pumps the brakes on her relationship with Deontay, and Gale learns that his relationship with Yuri is not what it seems. On a new Good Trouble.
AMC, one of, if not the last good Adam Sandler movies, 50 First Dates.
I prefer Memento. FX, The Hangover Trilogy. There's a good movie there.
Adam Sandler wasn't in Memento.
He was not.
FXX, Dave has a professional setback and is forced to spend more time with his parents. And family time has never been more eye-opening on a new Dave.
FXM has Happy Death Day followed by Happy Death Day 2. You. And they worked at the number, yeah.
IFC, go see Dude, Where's My Car? Sultan.
Independent film at its finest. Siffy has Hellboy. That's going to be the new one, though.
I mean, it's... TNT has Law Abiding Citizen.
Science, Nightmare in New Orleans on a new... They show disasters. It's just awful. They call it building catastrophe. It's just awful. We're going to watch the Lifetime Movie Network tonight. A widower starts to date again after years have passed and hits it off with the mom of his twin's daughter's new classmate. But when one of the daughters thinks they're no good for her dad, she works to get some proof before it's too late, whatever that means. Hannah Vandenbygar and Julia LeBlanc star in Evil Stepmom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When Chad's loving and somewhat malignant father, Will, helps the school dance, Stefan invites Chad's buddy Jack, but not Chad. Meanwhile, jealousy erupts when Sonny gets a job as a DJ. Trust me, man, not a good career move, but Sonny is determined. He will drop beats that will make this house broken. His friends from college helped boost his dream, something he has not given up on now that he is married. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi, geeks. Billy, I love your Uatu, the Watcher of Marvel joke. I'm still not into horror. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, you don't have to be into horror. I mean, there's plenty of good stuff out there. I highly recommend a lot of horror, and I say, and sometimes you're not watching it for the horror aspect itself. Take Netflix's version of The Haunting of Hill House. That is a goddamn good family drama. There just happens to be a shit ton of ghosts.
And don't worry, Bill. Horror's not that into you either.
If you've got other genre-bending, quote-unquote, horror movies, by all means, won't you let us know? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send a voicemail or text message. We'd love to hear either, or just send it to the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
Was Poultrygeist a cooking movie?
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop, when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years, but which you remember as being legendary. A purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you, and that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
And, you know, watch Shaft or anything, or Hair, anything from the 60s, really, because the man's still living there, and by God, he has every single right to.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
And they're out there. What's at the comic book shop today, sir? In our hold box.
From DC Comics, we've got Batman, Secret Files, Huntress, number one, it's one shot. Mr. Miracle, The Source of Freedom, number 3 of 6. I'm sure it costs about $1.05. Static Season 1, two, number 2 of 6. Anyway, we've also got Jonathan Kent, who's experienced a lot in his young life. He's traveled the galaxies with his Kryptonian grandfather and lived in the future with the Legion of Superheroes, who, of course, were intent on training him for the day his father, Clark Kent, would no longer be Superman. There is a hole in the Legion's history that prevents John from knowing exactly when that'll happen, but all signs point to it being very soon. It's time for the son to wear the cape of his father and bear the symbol of hope, which is an S, and has told the world who Superman really is in Superman, Son of Kal-El, number one.
Marvel Beta Ray Bill wraps up its five. Black Knight, Curse of the Ebony Blade wraps up its five. Eternals got to six, though. Red Room, Black Widow, Teenage Spider-Man, World War II Captain America, the most iconic versions of your favorite Marvel characters from across time and space, all wake up with the Island of Intrigue, Darkness, and Amazing Fantasy. Are they dead? Are they dreaming? Is it a sideways flashback? Or have they truly been transported to another fantastical realm? And is there any way for them to return home? This isn't just a love letter to your favorite Marvel eras. It's reinvestment in the seminal characters you've always loved, plucked from their quintessential timelines. It's Amazing Fantasy. Number one.
I guess because we need Captain America to remind everybody that Nazis are bad.
Right.
From Boom Studios, we've got Berserker, 4 of 12. Dune, Blood of the Sadarkar, number one. Firefly, 31. From Dark Horse, we've got Grendel, Devil's Odyssey, wrapping up its 8. Parasomnia, 2 of 4. Witcher, Witch's Lament, 3 of 4. And the team behind the hit Gru the Wanderer series goes to Comic-Con, finding inspiration not only in their enthusiastic fans, but in their fellow creators, too. Especially those working on Tarzan comics. Sergio Aragonés finds a way to introduce the two characters to each other, and so Tarzan, the Lord of the Jungle, is set on a path that will lead him to Gru, the Master of Cheese Dip. Also includes the return of the Roberto backup strips in Gru Meets Tarzan, 1 of 4.
Over at IDW Publishing, Star Trek Year 5, number 23, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Annual 2021, Transformer Beast Wars, number 6, at Image, Jules Verne's Lighthouse, 4 of 5, Made in Korea, 3 of 6, That Texas Blood, number 8, and Some Fictions Manifest in Reality as Dangerous, Half-Formed Things. The Department of Truth relies on hunters to track down and contain these wild tulpas before they become too real. It's time for Cole Turner to see this side of the job firsthand. It's time for Cole Turner to join his first Bigfoot hunt in Department of Truth, number 1. Oh, Harry.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Though Marvel Studios' Black Widow was at the top of the box office when it premiered simultaneously in theaters and on Disney Plus
with premium access,
it fell to the second spot when Warner Brothers' overstuffed Space Jam took the lead, then dropped to fourth so Old could beat out Snake Eyes.
But will it beat the upcoming Air Bud Fast and Furious crossover?
Furious Air. While Black Widow's initial $80 million domestic theatrical box office was no big deal, but COVID-19 pandemic standards, it's whatever. But it only made $26.3 million the following weekend.
And Space Jam only made $16 in its second.
In its response to Black Widow's second weekend's box office drop, the National Association of Theater Owners...
When will NATO stop meddling?
Have released a public statement detailing the organization's concerns about the movie's stunning collapse and how Disney Plus's premier access stunts revenue by depressing theater turnout.
Have they thought of de-sticking the floors or lowering prices? It would make the turnouts less depressing.
Why did such a well-made, well-received, highly anticipated movie underperform? Nader rhetorically pondered in the incendiary statement. Despite assertions that this pandemic-era improvised release strategy was a success for Disney and the simultaneous release model, it demonstrates that an exclusive theatrical release means more revenue for all stakeholders in every cycle of the movie's life.
Is Disney keeping more of its money something they could have anticipated? He rhetorically asked incendiarily.
Along with Black Widow's $80 million box office drop, Disney also proudly touted the $60 million the movie initially made from Disney Plus, where subscribers could purchase access to the movie for $30 day and date with its theatrical debut. NATO was careful to point out in a statement that Disney has to cede a percentage of the premiere access revenue to the various platformers where Disney Plus is made available. But the larger issue NATO sees with Disney's Black Widow releasing strategy is how immediate Disney Plus access encourages piracy and cuts into box office sales that might have otherwise come from repeat theatergoers who tend to flock to theaters for Marvel tentpoles.
Well, it is easier to share a password than a ticket stub.
Right, the Bruce? We've all been waiting to see Black Widow. As much as I'd love to see the House of Mouse take the hit to the proverbial Mickey bank, please remember to think of the small-time businesses like AMC, Regal, and Alamo. In fact, next time, go buy an extra tub of popcorn to help them out. That's about equal to what Disney's charging for a flick nowadays, right?
Dictionary.com updated its online dictionary with more than 300 new words and definitions, covering topics such as COVID-19, online learning, the use of y'all, racial justice, slang, and more. The update is a reminder that English is a living language, one that is constantly changing to reflect the world and society we live in.
I shall put on my best dungarees to attend the upcoming hootenanny once I return from the picture house.
The latest update to our dictionary continues to mirror the world around us, John Kelly, managing editor of Dictionary.com, said in a news release. Long COVID, minoritize, 5G content warning domestic terrorism. It's a complicated and challenging society we live in, and language changes to help us grapple with it.
I know it's tough to keep up with all those newfangled words.
One of these changes is the word yeet. According to Dictionary.com, the slang word was first recorded between the years of our Lord 2005 and 2010 and started off as an exclamation of excitement used in black social media culture that gained popularity because of a dance of the same name. The online dictionary states that yeet can be used as an exclamation of enthusiasm, triumph, pleasure, joy, etc.
I suppose I shall have to trade in my standard gadzooks for when I have a hankering to show my elation.
Still confused? Here's how Dictionary.com uses it in a sentence. If we're lucky, all of Wisconsin will be yelling yeet when the Packers make a second trip to Tampa this year.
Terry, just a moment. I thought it was to pitch something yonder.
Right you are, Ezekiel Beauregard Flynn. Like many words, yeet has more than one definition. It can also be used as a verb in not just one, but two ways. One meaning is to hurl or move forcefully, and is used with an object, as in someone just yeeted a water bottle into the crowd. On the other hand, it can also be used without an object, in which case it means to move forcefully or quickly. An example of this would be, my cat yeeted out of there in a big hurry.
Oh, I believe I'm starting to form an understanding.
Besides new additions to slang and pop culture references, which also include oof, blamestorm, zaddy, and shit show, the update also covered tech terms that many of us have become familiar with over more than a year of pandemic hell. These include asynchronous and synchronous, which Dictionary.com explains are used in the context of remote, hybrid, or blended learning.
I believe there was a war about blended.
As I said, language and learning change and evolve over time, just as we do as a society. As for slang, however, even Dictionary.com admits the trends in slang and pop culture are often fast-changing and short-lived. Only slang terms that present meaningful evidence of widespread and sustained use typically make it into the dictionary. So congratulations! Now you'll all be able to speak to youngsters. I see we're getting a fax from pop culture. It seems they're now all irrelevant and outdated, so good luck out there, parents of teens. Just, I don't know, say things are rad and dope and just own your dorkiness.
Tell the kids what a fax machine is. In the early 2000s, just after Blade and X-Men had laid the groundwork and before Chris Nolan's Batman or the MCU arrived, the comic book movie genre was dominated by Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Dark man like a mofo?
The Evil Dead director scored rave reviews for his first two Spider-Man films starring Tobey Maguire, which still hold up as some of the best comic book movies made.
The first two.
Marvel Studios chief Kevin Feige worked as associate executive producer on those films and recently spoke about getting Raimi on board to direct the upcoming Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and how they're letting Raimi be Raimi, complete with all of his signature touches.
Do not interfere. Let the man make his Evil Dead. Not get in the way and make Oz the Great and Powerful.
For people who know what the stamp is, they can be very excited. And for the people who don't yet know what that stamp is, can't wait for them to see this movie, be blown away by it, and go, what else has he done? And delve into Sam Raimi's filmography, which is one of the best of all time.
Can't wait to see the crash zooms, witty one-liners, and Bruce effing Campbell.
Both WandaVision and especially Loki have set the stage for the Doctor Strange sequel, which looks as though it will be doing some heavy lifting for the current Marvel phase. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness arrives in cinemas in March. You know, we like the original Doctor Strange. I mean, not the 70s TV movie. And Sam Raimi taking us down his version of a Technicolor multiverse joyride based on the 70s comic will be a sight to behold. I just hope the Delta 88 is up for it.
The West can't catch a break. After a slight reprieve from a couple weeks ago's extreme heat, which sparked raging wildfires that threatened electricity grids and lit up fire NATOs in California, the region is preparing for... The region is already in its fourth scorching heat wave in just 5 weeks.
Wait. Fire NATOs? That can't be good.
The U.S. just saw its hottest June on record, and heat has claimed hundreds of lives throughout the North America. But it seems this brutal summer isn't ready to let up yet.
My God, we're brutal already. We blasted past cruel.
In a now familiar series of events, a high-pressure system known as a heat dome will move into the region, forming a lid that traps hot air in the atmosphere. The high pressure will also lock in sunny skies, further enforcing extreme heat.
You know, we need to rewatch Highlander 2. The answer's got to be there.
I'm not sure it's quite that hot yet, Flynn. While past heat waves have centered over California and the Pacific Northwest, this one will be a little further inland and straddle the U.S.-Canada border. An area from Idaho and Montana up to Alberta and Saskatchewan will see the worst of it.
It's so bad.
How bad is it?
I heard a Canadian bumped into someone and didn't apologize.
Though the dome reached its peak strength last week, high temperatures could persist in some regions, especially in Western Canada, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, and could all see triple-digit heat throughout the entirety of this week.
Canadian temps in the 100s?
That ain't right, man.
At least 67 U.S. weather stations from Washington down through New Mexico have recorded their all-time hottest temperatures in 2021, the National Weather Service announced this week. With the renewed bout of heat, more records will be shattered in the coming days. Temperatures across a huge chunk of the area will be up to 30 degrees Fahrenheit or 16.7 degrees Celsius above average for mid-July.
It sounds like the climate is changing or something. If only we had a term for that.
The NWS advised us all to drink plenty of fluids, stay in an air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun, and check up on relatives and neighbors. Do not leave young children and pets in unattended vehicles. Car interiors will reach lethal temperatures in a matter of minutes.
I bet all that heat is not helping the wildfires.
Well, in a bizarre and somewhat upsetting twist, the excess smoke could actually curb temperatures this week by blocking out incoming sunlight. But that potential slight cooling effect will come with a high cost. Smoke is a huge public health concern, and air quality warnings are already in place in several states. As heat sets in across the West yet again, please stay hydrated and check your local stations for warnings and notifications about the heat, as well as fires. Just be safe out there. And keep tuned to us, as we'll let you know as soon as Gerard Butler and Roland Emmerich set up a meeting. Because once they leave that office, it's already too late.
And we have to end with some sad news, folks. Veteran actor Nicolas Cage has said that he has no plans to return to major studio filmmaking.
I'm a little tired, a little wired, and I think I deserve a little appreciation.
Some actors that were big in the 80s and 90s have disappeared in direct-to-video or streaming obscurity these days, and for much of 2010s, it seemed that Nicolas Cage was set to do the same thing.
Well, baby-o, it's not exactly Mai Tais and Yahtzee out there, but... let's do it.
Then, in the last 3 or 4 years, the actress turned the narrative around thanks to some genuinely off-the-wall choices, beginning with 2018's double hit of Mandy and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
It's like we're on two different channels now. I'm CNN and she's the Home Shopping Network.
While he's still more famous for memes than movies of late, he's sustained interest in his work with the likes of Color Out of Space, Primal, Jiu-Jitsu, and Willy's Wonderland, along with receiving rave reviews for his work in Michael Sarnowski's Pig.
People don't throw things at me anymore. Maybe because I carry a bow around.
In an interview promoting Pig, Cage compared his quiet and reclusive truffle hunter character to his own disillusionment with Hollywood and how he has no plans to return to major studios.
I do feel that I've gone into my own wilderness. I don't know if I'd want to go back. I don't know if I'd want to go and make another Disney movie. When I was making Jerry Bruckheimer movies back-to-back, that was just a high-pressure game.
Aside from voice work, Cage essentially exited studio filmmaking with Ghost Rider's Spirit of Vengeance in 2011 and has been in the indie realms aside from, you know, work with Spider-Verse and the Croods franchise.
Because I was made for the sewer, baby, and I am king!
He's managed to knock out nearly 30 films in 10 years and says he's quite content with playing in that arena.
On independent movies, you have more freedom to experiment and be fluid. There's less pressure. There's more oxygen in the room.
I love pressure. I eat it for breakfast.
Cage will next be seen in the highly anticipated meta-comedy The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which sees him playing a version of himself. But you know, he's going to be missed. We got one more thing to say, Mr. Cage.
It doesn't matter how far you run. There's some demons you just can't escape. Like
needing another dinosaur skull. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. And chase it down with some jelly beans, why don't you? You know, sing songs of merriment and, you know, wear plastic vampire teeth and stalk Jennifer Beals. Whatever you need to do to make it happen. Okay, don't do the last one. Plastic vampire teeth is so gosh. Drop us a note and tell us the things that Nicolas Cage should and should not do. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can send it in a voicemail or text message. Just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
No, really. It's my choice.
Hey, what's the weather, man?
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
That was lame.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Oh, my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
Do not grieve. Soon, I shall be one with the Matrix.
Prime?
Ultra Magnus, it is to you, old friend. I shall pass the Matrix of leadership as it was passed to me.
But Prime, I'm just a soldier. I'm not worthy.
Nor was I. But one day, an Autobot shall rise from our ranks and use the power of the Matrix to light our darkest hour. Until that day, till all are one.